This is WMRW LP 94.5 Warren, Vermont, streaming live at WMRW.org. We are an all-volunteer, non-commercial, independent community radio station located right here in the Mad River Valley.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
All right.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Amy, and I am co-host of the 5-H Show. The 5-H's stand for health, happiness, harmony, humor, and humanity, and we always bring the best of humanity, because remember, you are all the best out there, to the airwaves here at WMRWLP out of Warren, Vermont. And I have two of our fabulous neighbors here today, two people that I'm not sure if you've ever met them before, but I keep running into one of them everywhere I go, so I just had to invite her here on the show. I have here Martha and Kathleen, and we are going to be diving deep into a subject that I think folks could really use an update on. I know I could use an update on it. I am a health educator, a licensed, evidence-based health educator. So I teach students in grades pre-K through 12 and beyond about all of the health topics. And of course, drugs and alcohol are a big part of those lessons over the years. And so I've had several presenters come into my classrooms, especially to talk about drugs, because it is a very complicated and evolving subject that youth often think they know more about than adults, and so adults could really use a brush up here. But one of the things I thought was really interesting, one of my presenters said one time, was he asked my 7th and 8th graders to write on a piece of paper, where do they see themselves in 10 years? And afterwards, he'd have them open them up and share what they said. And he goes, you know what? I've been doing this for years, going into people's classrooms and asking people, and no one has ever put down drug addict on their paper. No one ever expects to grow up to become addicted to drugs to the point where drugs are ruling their lives and making their decisions. However, that happens for a growing number of people. So what's the deal? Well, one of my other favorite presenters I used to have in, Martha, is here today. And we first met because she was courageous back in the day to come out and speak about human trafficking, sex trafficking, and talking about it with kids and how to prevent it, because they are the targets, right? And I just thought, this woman is so amazing and so courageous, and she's here today. So I have my other guest on the phone. I think she's calling in right now. So let me get this set up. I've got a little preface here from Colorado. A physician from Colorado is going to tell us what she knows as well, just while I get the phone set up. Thank you for joining me.
Ground zero of THC commercialization. You have worked as an addiction psychiatrist in a 90-day residential program treating people with co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders for well over 20 years. Can you please, based on your clinical experience and your knowledge of science focused upon THC and its effect on the human brain, share your concerns around THC becoming easily accessible through commercialization in our communities?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really happy to be here because I have been trying to get this message out. Several of us physicians in Pueblo, Colorado, go around the country trying to help people understand what has happened in our community. I've been an addiction psychiatrist since 1990, and I love what I do. I love treating people and getting them into recovery, because I believe recovery is completely possible, but people have to stop using. And the problem with the high THC, well, basically what happened in Colorado was we legalized it, and then we allowed the industry, with no regulations at all, to really modify the plant to increase the potency of THC. And so, you know, when it first came out as medical in our state, I wasn't really worried about it. I thought it would be just like the old-time THC, which in the 60s and 70s, THC was less than 2%. And it slowly increased over the years. To the 90s, it was at the height of 5%. And now we have gotten plants up to 20% average. We have people selling marijuana who brag they have plants up to 40% THC, and then we have the concentrates, which have been the most devastating part of this development, which are the edibles, the shatter, the wax, the dab. These are things that go up all the way to 95% and higher THC. It has been extremely damaging to multiple people. In my treatment program, we have seen more and more people using marijuana. I mean, it didn't used to be as prevalent. Now the treatment program I run, 95% of them are using marijuana on a daily basis. This is more than tobacco. And tobacco used to be the one that everybody used, no matter what they were doing. And I actually have people not smoking tobacco, they're smoking marijuana, and they're smoking the high concentrations. And so I see the increased risk of suicide related to it, psychosis, depression, anxiety, and this is in adults. I also see this absolutely in adolescents. And the commercialization in our town has made it normalized. So everybody thinks there's nothing wrong with it, that it's safe, it's healthy, and so I should be able to use it because it's my medicine. And nobody talks about using marijuana to get high. Nobody does. Everybody talks about it, but it's their medicine. And even though they don't have a medical card because they don't need one, they can go to the regular dispensary and get whatever they want. But we don't have any difference between a medical and a recreational. You go into either one, and they have the exact same products in all of them.
All right, folks. That was just a little clip from one of the videos that our guests here are going to tell us about. Hello, Martha.
Hello. Oh, excuse me. Hi there.
Sound check. Yeah, we're doing that's yes. What we're doing here, no doubt. Thank you so much. Thank you. And Kathleen, are you there?
I am.
Yay!
I am learning the phone systems, and my guests are so patient and wonderful. So thank you so much. So maybe we'll start with Martha here in the studio. Do you want to introduce yourself and a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Martha Hafner. I am not native to Vermont, but when I came to Vermont almost 25 years ago now, I found out that I'm part of the furniture here as far as my family goes. But so I grew up in Michigan, teacher for 40 years, and have been in the most recent years doing an assortment of things such as visiting your classroom.
Great. Yeah. And so you have a lot of experience with teaching, 40 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you're a natural at it. When you could just walk into a room full of people you don't know and come from your heart.
That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from, and that's what connects. Thank you for coming. And Kathleen?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for phoning in. How are you?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last thing. I actually was moving my car so that you would be able to hear me, and I missed that very last thing. I'm sorry.
No, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm doing really well. It's a gorgeous day, and I'm glad that we're here and that we have radio where people can speak their own words and not have them twisted by the media, the regular media, which seems to be, they're very good at that, and they don't ever seem to fail to do it. So I thought about that, and I thought, wow, it's going to be our own words. I guess I better be very careful, but not what I say. But yeah, I'm good, and I'm thankful for radio, which has always been very helpful to humanity.
Yes, thank you, WMRWLP, for sure. And so we're going to do, we're going to have a discussion until 1 o'clock, and we will tie it up there because this show will rebroadcast again later on this week on the on the station. But we can continue if there are callers out there who wanted to call in and things like that. We can continue past the top of the hour. But our guests here are here today to discuss these changes in cannabis that have come along with commercialization. It seems like since the lockdown, this all sort of rolled out, steamrolled through during the lockdown, and not a lot of folks are really aware of what commercialization did to cannabis in Vermont.
So I'm going to inject here at this point that in my years of teaching, I have always said it's because the brains of our youth are the most precious natural resource that we have that I teach. But now I change it that I want to protect. And when I saw things rolling out with cannabis, I was really quite concerned. And Dr. Libby, that you just shared a clip from, Libby Stike, she was one of the people that was part of my education system. And I really, the stories that came out of Pueblo, Colorado were really concerning. I mean, things like 38% truancy in the schools. Yes.
38%.
You know, yes. And it was a community that not long ago had been featured as one of the top 10 of all the country to be a member of. And yet they saw things dramatically change with the commercialization of cannabis. Earlier on here, you showed had up a graph that showed the rate of opioid as it affected was affected by the cannabis market happening. And the graph that they saw in Colorado, it, you know, it's a gradual incline. But then when commercialization hit, the opioid death rate started to skyrocket. And the same pattern is seen here in Vermont. Since 2019, all of a sudden, we see like a 30% increase in opioid deaths here in Vermont as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about why that, you know, why that connection is there. It might seem surprising to some folks who are listening in Vermont because it seems to be a pretty, you know, pot-friendly culture here. And so, you know, we definitely want people to be aware. This is one of those sneaking in things like alcohol advertising, right, and the effects of that. And if folks want to see these resources, I did put them on my website, Martha. So anybody listening out there can go to vtmasksurvey.com. That's VT like Vermont, masksurvey.com. And if you click on the 5H tab, you'll see right at the top there Martha's resources. She has... I've provided links to the video clip I just played. That woman, what was the doctor's name again?
Dr. Libby Stite.
Libby Stite from Colorado. She's a doctor from Colorado. You can also see this opioid death and use chart, and it is quite startling. Yeah, Kathleen, do you want to jump in?
Sure. At the beginning, I just want to thank Martha because she's a wealth of information, and I'm probably going to actually learn a lot today. Martha provided me with links, which we'll give out during this show, to organizations where I could get more information, two that she has, which she'll tell you about, and also the Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana. I think it's .info. It's A-A-L-M as in Mary .info, I believe. Amazing national organization that provided me with information packets. I have one here with me, just chock full of information I never would have known. Now, I haven't been around the marijuana, cannabis, what would you call it, lifestyle or whatever, you know, since like 1970. So I didn't know a whole lot about it. I'm new to this. My knowledge about all of this, sounds like maybe you guys have more than I do. My knowledge about all this started, would it have been 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when the Northeast Kingdom town that I live in, because the guy that wanted to sell cannabis here at a local brewery out of a little church that's on the brewery property filed a petition to have a town meeting. I'm not sure how that all came about, but so we actually had a town meeting to vote on it. And in order to prepare for it, I called Martha because I knew she'd done a lot of work on this at the state level. And so she told me about all the information. I read up on it as quickly as I could. I watched the amazing film on YouTube called Smokescreen, which is very hard to find. You have to know where to look for it. It's at the channel, the YouTube channel. I think it's Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, a little bit different than that website. Might be the same group, I'm not sure. Amazing, amazing film. Martha's website has amazing charts. I mean, documented charts about everything she's talking about and everything that's in the film. And so I'm new to this, but I will say this. The commercialization of marijuana is a totally different ballgame than the personal use. I mean, is there anybody, any of us that doesn't know somebody who has been smoking it for 50 years or 3 years or whatever, it's a lifestyle for them, and that's legal. So it was legal. Apparently now it's legal to have commercial cannabis, but does that make it right to have the commercial? And when you look, nobody wants to just come to a screeching, well, no, a lot of us do want to come to a screeching halt, but the powers that be want to rush ahead. Like you said, during COVID, which I didn't know about this, the rollout of marijuana during, I was looking at the rollout of a whole lot of other things at the same time. But people don't want to look, the people that want this. Mm-hmm. They just want, people I know that, you know, the younger people that I know that I've asked about this, they say, look, everybody's just got to chill out. And you know what? In a way, yeah, everybody has got to chill out. Everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants to be relaxed. Everybody wants to feel joy and be high. But there's a natural way to do that. There's a natural way to do that. And are we numbing out? That's what we're doing. We're numbing out. Like, this is the dumbing down of America. This would be the numbing. I just coined this. The numbing out of America, or the numbing down of America. So that, let's just smoke our pot and barbecue up some whatever in the backyard and have a good time and not look at what's happening to our nation and our children. And so there's countless things that are dangerous that I never would have known if I hadn't looked at this material. I'm looking at the table of contents. Yes, I will stop talking before the hour's up.
No, you're hitting all these great points. Keep going.
I might. I shouldn't have said that. I might. So the table of contents, I'm looking at the table of contents in this AALM, the risks of marijuana use. There are something like 36 little chapters or pages, each one a separate, very serious danger. I'll just like read five of them. Risks of suicide, risks of cancer, risks of violence, hyperemesis, allergic reaction, OZEP, and poisoning, addiction, blah, blah, blah. It's a gateway drug. To opioids. This is proven. It's proven fact. And the states that have gone commercial, the first ones, like Colorado and California, and I think possibly Florida, I'd have to check on that, very much regret what they've done. It has not been good, and it would take probably more than this show to describe all those ways, but a good start is watching that movie Smokescreen. It brings in crime. Eventually, the cartels come in. That's what's happened in these other. And so we notice our borders are wide open, and we have no idea who's coming across our borders, although we know a lot of children are, and they're being trafficked. And things are too serious to just plunge ahead into just about anything these days without taking a good look. What are we doing? And I guess I could stop there for the moment.
So I'm going to back up a little bit and comment. Yes, I was in the room back in the 70s where the pipers were being passed around. Honestly, I was one that just let it pass because I really wasn't sure what I was putting in my body and I didn't really want to. So, but I was there and I inhaled plenty of everybody else's secondhand smoke. But back then, the concentrations, if you got a good dose, was 1.2%. THC. I mean, and most of it was less than that. Mm-hmm. So it really was a very harmless kind of drug at that stage. And all of us that grew up in that era, you know, coming on to things that are happening now, say, yeah, let everybody have a chance to smoke it, et cetera. It's safe. It's harmless. But what's happened in the meantime, we've got all these growers increasing their percentage, and it's up to 30% THC in a good batch of cannabis that's being put out there anymore. And now, in addition to that, they're using various concentration-type methods that they can get the 99% proof kind of versions,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
And that is what Libby comments in some of her other comments. The psychiatrists don't know what to do in order to be able to restore the brain in some of those kind of scenarios. And there are the violence episodes where, who knows when, but, you know, sometime a couple years down the road, somebody has a quick relapse, and they can be very violent. They can be very strong. They can be, and it took three or four doctors to be able to pin somebody down, and the person is very dangerous to whoever is around them. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things are, you know, pretty, oh my Lord, what's going on kind of scenarios that will inflame everybody that's around them. And yet, you know, it's like a time bomb waiting to happen in some people.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but I'm just saying, yeah, that's one of the consequences that can evolve.
And so folks out there, you know, who remember it back in the day, and we used to laugh at Reefer Madness. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
And where people were having psychotic episodes, or what appeared to be. In this movie, they showed this, you know, as a prevention strategy to warn people about marijuana. And folks would laugh because with that concentration, it was very unusual. I mean, unless you had a real predisposition, and probably something else would have set it off. Anyway, but what we're talking about now is so different. There really is. And folks, I mean,